They come from the past and the future.
There is nothing wrong with your radio.
Listen.
With the single most important interview since God talked to Moses.
The voices you are hearing are the voices from Krypton.
I'm Ed Gross, and this is Voices from Krypton. Simon Pegg is someone who finds himself in the unique position of being a part of not one, but two franchises on the verge of celebrating their 50th anniversary. In Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which opens in theaters on July 30th, he makes his third appearance as Agent Benji Dunn. Next summer, on July 8th, 2016 to be precise, he reprises the role of Montgomery Scott, better known as Scotty, in Star Trek Beyond, which he's co-writing with Doug Young. For a performer, it's a pretty unique position to be in, and I wanted to get his feeling about the fact that both franchises are thriving half a century after their debuts.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. I mean, aside from my involvement in them, the very fact that they're still here and there's still a story to be told is, a testament to their sort of strength as just ideas, you know. I mean, you know, because at the heart of both those shows and subsequently films, you have quite a simple idea. One is the kind of like, you know, secret agents, and one is like space explorers, and they're just classic fantasies for people, you know, the idea of being in space and exploring unknown space or being a spy and all the kind of exotic and adventure stuff that goes along with that. Those two ideas are at the very heart of these stories, and it's what's kind of powered them all this time. And yeah, here we are 50 years later, and it's still going on. But it's a testament also to its both stories' ability to evolve. You know, they've not stayed the same, and the Star Trek and Mission Impossibles of 1966 are a far cry from the Star Trek and Mission Impossibles of 2016. You know?
The real question, of course, is why both have endured. Is it I offered the core concept behind each of them?
It starts with that, I think, and then, yeah, you know, you bring in charismatic actors and well-written characters, you know, and certainly with Mission Impossible, the kind of the birth of Ethan Hunt, you know, that was with the first movie in 96. You know, with Star Trek, obviously, those characters are now being, they went through their sort of life and it started again for those characters. It's fantastic, you know, to be writing that movie and have that palette to draw from of these characters that people sort of pre-know. It's a combination of things. It's the simplicity of the idea, and it's the skill of the execution. You know?
As we'll be speaking more in depth on Rogue Nation with Simon later this week, we wanted to take this opportunity to get his feelings about the seemingly effortless way in which he and his co-stars have inhabited the crew of the Starship Enterprise.
Yeah, I mean, we were very lucky to have had those characters assayed for us before by extraordinary actors who just brought them to life. So to put those characters on, it was like slipping into a pair of pre-broken in shoes. And you know, we're very lucky in that, you know, we asked the audience to say, okay, now we'll be these people, and they seem to have, you know, for the large part, gone along with that. So it's, and same with writing it, you know, you have this set of characters that you understand them. There's no getting to know them. You know how they speak and you know how they think, and you're able to sort of, you know, work with them. It's sort of easier than a blank page.
Wrapping things up, the question raised is what Star Trek means to 2016, and what, if anything, from the original can still be incorporated into Star Trek Beyond.
I definitely feel like, you know, it's from the off, it was apparent to Doug and I, Doug Young, who I'm writing with, that we would, you know, the crew would be out on the mission that made the show, you know, popular. It was they were out on a deep space mission for 5 years, and you know, with the first two films, we've spent kind of prior to that, really, with them getting to know each other and having, you know, in the case of the last film, having an adventure which stayed within our own solar system. Now, I feel like, Doug and I feel like, let's get them out there now and get onto that wagon train in space and start boldly going where no one's gone before. And, you know, like you say, the Star Trek of 2016, it has to be different. As a commercial prospect, it has to be different. We can't make those kind of, you know, small, thoughtful, little kind of, you know, plays like the episodes used to be now in terms of, in a cinematic sense, because the studios just wouldn't bankroll it. It's not what the larger audiences who are going to go and see Star Trek, who have as much right to it as the fans do. It's not, you know, we have to make something that people are going to come in so we can keep making it. But it doesn't mean we can't keep what made the show special and try and invigorate what, you know, what Star Trek 2016 means with what 1966 meant as well, you know.
I'm Ed Gross. Thanks for joining us on Voices from Krypton. Scotty, beam me up.
The Voices from Krypton.